The Vatican announced new rules yesterday that are being called its most comprehensive approach to the clergy sex abuse crisis since allegations started to surface decades ago. The rules would require officials in the church to report sexual abuse and any attempts to cover up abuse. But many survivors are saying it's still not enough, pointing to the fact that the new law doesn't require that law enforcement be notified of an allegation and that it doesn't say anything about how an official who is a perpetrator of sexual abuse should be punished. Emma Green covers religion, policy, and politics at The Atlantic. Emma, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
So these new rules go into effect next month, but as it stands right now, it seems like the rules about reporting are kind of a patchwork around the world. Is that correct?
That's right. In the United States, the bishops put in place measures right after that notorious scandal in Boston in 2001 and 2002, mandating reporting across the diocese in the United States. But the problem in the U.S., and especially in other countries around the world, is that there was never a central policy coming from the very top level of the church, from the Pope himself, that set standards, making it obligatory for all leaders of the church, from the lowest priest to the highest bishop, to report and be held accountable for their actions.
Well, let's dig into what these new rules would do. First of all, you said from you know, the parish level priest up to a bishop, a cardinal, the Pope himself, I'm assuming. What about other religious, for instance, nuns or maybe brothers?
So these rules are expansive both in the imagination of who should be held accountable for reporting and also who can be identified as a victim. And I think this is important in part because the thing we have learned over the past few years is that the sexual abuse scandal is not just about the abuse of children. It's about the use of abuse of authority and the pressuring of people across the church, from seminarians to women religious and nuns, into these kinds of sexual acts that has left all of them victimized and without any kind of recourse. So it does have that kind of expansiveness, both in terms of responsibility, but also in trying to make that reparation for those people who are attacked.
So one of the things that I found interesting about this is that it is not just saying you as an official of the Catholic Church, and again, just to distinguish from a member, for instance, you as an official of the Catholic Church, it's not just if you know of abuse that is happening, it's if you know of attempts to cover up abuse. So you might not have firsthand knowledge of the abuse itself, but you know of the cover up, and that too is now mandated to be reported.
That's right. One of the most remarkable things about this new law is that it not only puts in place a standard for those bishops, those top level church leaders, for investigating and reporting these allegations, it also creates a mechanism to actually trigger an investigation of bishops if they fail to do that. So you yourself as a church leader can be held accountable for the failure to follow these laws and take seriously this obligation for reporting that is being set forth by the Pope.
And do these new rules, this new law, start next month and move forward, or is this also retroactive?
So these are experimental, meaning they're set in place for 3 years. The Pope has signaled his intention to maybe reevaluate after that 3-year period. And it does not cover the crimes of the past. This is about trying to create accountability mechanisms moving forward to put in place those formal structures in the church that will make sure that bishops cannot get away with moving priests around from parish to parish, for example. And I think that's one of the greatest gaps here, and something that the church might not be able to fix. It has done all of this harm and has mishandled so many allegations in the past. And this does not really do anything to fix that. All it does is promise that maybe in the future, the church will be able to handle and process these allegations in a better way.
So there is now mandatory reporting for many, many people to be mandatory reporters. How are they supposed to do that? What are the mechanisms or the structure that is in place or will be for them to report?
So this lays out a structure requiring everyone from that local parish priest all the way up to the bishop to report. And it offers language that says basically those people are supposed to identify the proper authority. In the case of the parish priest, that would be your local bishop, who's the head of your diocese. But even going all the way up to those bishops, there's now a structure in place that refers to these metropolitans, or these kind of regional leaders who are real powerful cardinals or bishops who can oversee a geographic area. And those people now have new responsibilities for making sure that all of the bishops in their region are also cooperating and following these rules.
So as you said, Emma, a lot of this has been about abuse of power. And of course, when you are on the maybe the lowest or one of the low rungs in a huge hierarchy like the church is, there can be a lot of concern about what kind of retribution there might be against you if you report. What, if any, protections are in place for people who come forward and follow this new law that says they have to report?
This is explicitly protecting those people who might refer to themselves as whistleblowers, both in terms of reporting allegations against priests or bishops, but also against people who follow up on those investigations that led nowhere or the allegations that turned up nothing. This is a clear statement from the Pope that the position of the Vatican is that it is not only important to report, but the Vatican is on the side of the people who tell the truth. And that is such an important culture shift from where the church has been even 10 or 20 years ago. This culture of cover up and concealment has been so pernicious and pervasive throughout the global church. And this is a real mark of a changed moment for the attitude of the church in terms of transparency.
We're talking with Emma Green. She covers religion, policy, and politics at The Atlantic. We're talking about a new church law that came out of the Vatican yesterday that makes all officials of the Catholic Church mandated reporters of sexual abuse, not just of children, but also of adults as well. Now, this has been an issue, as you said. Well, it's been an issue for much longer than it's been really publicly known. But there has always been a hesitance or a sense against mandating that those in the church who know of abuse report to civil authorities, not just to church authorities. Why is there such resistance to that?
I think in the early days of this scandal, especially in the United States, there was a sense of ignorance and naivete among church leaders who believed that they could handle these kinds of allegations internally. They knew what to do to, quote unquote, fix the priests, and they had basically, above all, the well-being of the priest and the well-being of the church in mind. Now, this new law changes that in certain ways, in the sense that it makes mandatory the sharing of information with victims. It acknowledges that there may be local laws in some of these countries that mandate those reports to outside authorities. But I think there will be a lot of criticism, and I've already heard some of this from survivors, that this law does not have any requirement that the church stop policing itself, that it turn outside of itself, it hands over the documents and hands over the cases and says somebody outside of the church, some law enforcement body that's run by a government, is going to be able to do a better job of policing the church. And I think that's a real point of sensitivity for survivors who don't think that the church is a good faith player on these issues.
Mari Collins is a survivor of priest sex abuse, and she shared her reaction to the new law with NPR's Morning Edition today. Here's some of what she had to say.
It doesn't change anything as far as reporting to civil authorities. It's not even a word of encouragement to go and report to the state authorities. Yes, the whole document about how important reporting is internally, but nothing about externally. And that is where, to me, the document completely falls down.
Emma, does that echo what other survivors are coming forward and saying?
Absolutely. And this is something, when I was reporting in Boston earlier this year about the legacy of the sexual abuse scandal there, this was something I heard from so many advocates and survivors, that it was important for the church, when it gets these allegations, to turn over those documents and give law enforcement authorities the ability to actually hold the church accountable from the outside. I do know that from a global perspective, there were some church leaders from countries in the global south where the governments are more hostile to Catholicism. They worried that having that mandatory reporting to civil authorities could potentially create an excuse for the government to try to curtail church activities or to crack down on Catholicism. So there were some nuances there, I think, that the Pope was balancing and trying to reach the global church. But I do know that the survivor perspective that Marie Collins shared there is one that's shared widely among people who don't trust the church to be able to police itself.
We're talking with Emma Green right now. She's from The Atlantic, and we're talking about new rules coming out of the Vatican this week dealing with clergy sexual abuse. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you think that these new rules are a sign of progress, especially if you are a survivor of clergy sexual abuse or a Catholic yourself? Do you think these rules do enough to stop the abuse in the Catholic Church? Are you skeptical about whether the Church will be able to police itself? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation here on Central Time after this short break. This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. We're continuing our conversation with Emma Green of The Atlantic about sexual abuse in the Catholic Church and a new law announced by the Vatican yesterday that, among other things, requires church officials to report sexual abuse and attempts to cover it up. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the way the Catholic Church has responded to this issue? Has the Church's handling of it changed the way you think about your faith, or is that separate from the Church? And what questions do you have about how this new law will work? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. And let's go to the phones, and Mary in Whitewater is up. Hi, Mary.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was telling the screener that I work in healthcare, and I'm obligated by law to report child sex abuse and physical abuse, and I think that should apply to the Catholic Church. At least we're required by law in the state. So that's my thoughts, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Great. Thanks for that comment, Mary. And Emma?
So it is true that in the United States, there are rules around the obligations of religious figures to report not only allegations of abuse, but lots of other types of things that could potentially endanger people. And what this law does and does not do, it does, on the one hand, make it clear that inside the church around the world, there are uniform rules, but it does not say that in places around the world where there aren't those rules, there aren't those protections that are put in place by state governments or the federal government, like in the U.S., that priests and bishops still have to report to civil authorities. So it's that patchwork effect that I think survivors are really reacting to when they are thinking about that lack of reporting to civil authorities.
Let's go back to the phones, and Mike in Madison is up. Hi, Mike.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm an ex-Catholic my principal tried to molest me from a Catholic school a couple times. And no, the law does not go far enough. The law does not go far enough. You molest a child, you go to jail. If you know about it, you turn a person in, you let the authorities investigate this. And it's not just the Catholic Church. It's people in the God business all over the world, whether it's a youth pastor, whether it's a minister. They are getting away with molesting and raping our children.
Thanks for that call, Mike. And that's a really good comment, actually. This is certainly not exclusive to the Catholic Church. We just did a segment not too long ago about sexual abuse of children in the Boy Scouts. Other religious faiths have gone through similar crises. But this new law from the Vatican is the reason for the conversation today. Emma, we've heard from people who are saying, you know, this just isn't enough. And I think the undertone is, where's the real commitment on this issue?
I think that's right. And I'm so sorry to hear of the trauma that listener went through. And I think that kind of pain is what really animates this conversation. You know, the vast majority of clerics who work in the Catholic Church don't abuse children, but that minority who do and who have also committed abuses against seminarians or nuns or all other types of people, those people create an enormous amount of pain and trauma, and they leave in their wake this sense of mistrust and deep, deep cynicism about the moral authority of the church. So I do think it's important, especially from that survivor perspective, to recognize that this is not just an internal matter, that these are crimes that people are committing, and they do need to be held accountable as such.
Emma, one thing that the new law doesn't touch on is what happens to a priest who's been found to have engaged in sexual abuse. That seems like a kind of a major part of this that was left out.
It's right. There's been a lot of complaint that I've seen so far that there isn't a punishment structure attached to these new rules. It's not really clear what exactly happens when people don't follow these new measures laid out by the Pope. The Pope has put forth in recent months other measures that do have really concrete consequences attached. For example, at the end of March, he promulgated rules that said Vatican officials or diplomats who didn't report could face jail time. But this didn't have that, and I think that has left people with a deep sense of dissatisfaction.
Let's go back to the phones, and Mark in Milwaukee is up. Hello, Mark.
Hi, thanks for having my call.
Sure.
I'm a lifelong Catholic, and first off, this crisis, which it is, hasn't affected my faith, because I believe in God, not in other people, you know, fellow Catholics, whether they're good or bad, they're still fellow Catholics, and everybody's got their own job to do. But I think the rules almost aren't even in the right direction of what should be done. I wish the church would take it upon itself to ordain godly men, because if the church is true to itself and it calls on priests to be true to the calling, child abuse is not a problem, for God's sakes, much less, you know, heavy drinking or other kinds of sin, because that's the whole point of the Catholic Church is to be godly.
Thanks for that call, Mark. So Mark really separating there his faith and the bad actions by those few, Emma.
That's something that I've heard from a number of Catholic faithful, that they feel that the message of the church, the teachings of the Bible, Jesus, are not things that they're willing to give up on, despite the immense failings of the Catholic Church, which is a human institution. And I also have heard a lot from seminarians and people who work with young priests who are trying to discern a vocation in the church, exactly what that caller just spoke of, this sense that there's a need for the church to also look at who it is creating as priests, who it's giving power to, how they're being taught, and how they're being selected.
We're talking with Emma Green of The Atlantic about new rules from the Vatican that mandate reporting of sexual abuse within the Catholic Church. And interestingly, you know, we've been talking quite a bit, Emma, about the response from especially survivors who are saying this law does not go nearly far enough. On the other hand, Pope Francis has been in some conflict already with the much more conservative members of especially the hierarchy in the Catholic Church. What response are we getting from them?
You know, it's an interesting point because in my perspective, the responses really differ across the perspective of people who are sort of internal to the Catholic Church and people who are more external. So I've seen canon lawyers who you might call liberal or conservative, scholars who you might call liberal or conservative, who have applauded this and think that it's the right step forward for the church, who are acquainted with this difficulty around bishop accountability and think the Pope has made a great move. And then on the other side, I think people who are in the pews, people who are outside of the church, who are skeptical, who have lost faith, who have been abused by the church, those people who are more outsiders, I think their perspectives are much more skeptical. So I would actually make that divide around insider-outsider rather than necessarily around liberal and conservative.
Interesting. Emma, we saw a lot more people feeling comfortable and supported in coming out with stories of sexual harassment, sexual assault with the Me Too movement. Do things like this effort by the Vatican often bring forward more people who may have been sitting with these stories for years, decades even, and now feel maybe a little more comfortable sharing it?
Absolutely. One thing that we know, especially from the last couple of years with the Pennsylvania grand jury report that came out, the publication of lists by various dioceses of past abusers, the establishment of hotlines, all of these steps that have been taken, especially in the United States, what we know is that those open a floodgate. When people have a place to report, when they have a signal from the church and from law enforcement that they're going to be taken seriously, they come forward. And that's why this is such a moving and affecting and horrible scandal, because the truth is that we don't really know the scale of it yet. Really, it's only coming into focus now, many, many years after that first scandal broke in Boston, how extensive this is, and really seeing how much more there might be that has not yet been reported.
And very briefly, Emma, what are you looking for as this rule takes effect next month?
I will be looking for the consistency across the world, how countries that have not been through the gauntlet on this issue will be implementing this and how they take it. And I also will be watching Pope Francis to see if this is the last we hear from him on sexual abuse and he washes his hands and thinks he's done enough and moves on, or whether this continues to be something that he speaks about and takes on from the top level of the church, because this is only the beginning of the church trying to solve and rectify this horrible, horrible sin and crime that's been perpetuated across generations.
Well, Emma, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Emma Green, a writer for The Atlantic who covers religion, policy, and politics. She was with us today to talk about rules announced by Pope Francis yesterday that would require officials in the Catholic Church to report sexual abuse and cover-ups. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, more than 1 million people lost health insurance coverage in 2018. We'll look at why that was the case and what it might mean moving forward.